Showboy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The camera is rolling. Everything's going, and I think that everybody's got a study sheet except for the best of kin. Mrs. Gold, your husband does not have purchase. Thank you very much.
How do you make this mistake?
I don't know.
I'll
work on it during the week.
Okay.
I hope you all turned off your cell phones. I did. It's not going to be I have a lot to say this morning. We'll begin with good morning. I have two very brief announcements. Number one, on the top of the sheet, I write that it's the first yard site. Today is the first yard site of my brother, Rav Shmuel Yehoshua Ben Yehuda Gold, so we're going to be learning Le'ilui Nishmat, my brother. We're also going to be learning Le'ilui Nishmat, Refuah Naftali Yehoshua Ben Yaakov David Berlinger, a 19-year-old boy from Arnold Woods, sickly his whole life. What a struggle my whole life, and he passed away on Sunday. His family yet was a West Hempstead family, Berlingers from West Hempstead. All right. I listed 12 subjects that are covered in Parashat Kupat. And there could be more. Now it's very important to know what goes on this Sabbath. There's an awesome amount of history. And the history is no more than possibly 3 months, 4 months. Whatever you want happens in this Sabbath. It starts off with the parasha of Korah Aduma, the red heifer. That's the beginning of the parasha. And immediately after that, in order, number two, Miriam dies. Miriam dies on the 10th day of Nisan, in the 40th year in the desert. Do you know what happens between the end of Parshas Korah Aduma? In between the end of Korah Aduma and the beginning of the next pasuk, which is the death of Miriam, 38 years pass. The Augenblick, Keheref Ayin. And here we are. Whoever is there on that day are all the people that are destined to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's the 40th year, 10th day of Nisan, Miriam dies. That can be the only death in the parasha. Aaron HaKohen too is going to die. He's going to die a few months later. On what day? Chodesh Av. Very good, Kenny. Very good. You listen to my dad. But that was not on Parsha Chukas. I said that on a different Parsha. Okay, very good. We're proud of you. And then, of all the strange things, immediately afterwards, again, we're back to 40 years earlier. There's no water. Can you imagine 3 million people in the desert? No water? No water? So of course there are murmurings of it. And the whole parasha that so much is written about, Moshe is told, according to Rashi, he's told to speak to the rock. He hits the rock. The end is that the rock starts getting water little by little, but then more. And then God tells to Moshe and Aaron, you are not going to go into Eretz Israel because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of all of Israel. What's interesting, of course, is when Miriam dies, it does not say that all of Israel mourned for her. So you know what the Levitian wants to show them? Do you understand that you've been having water these 40 years? It's the discourse of Miriam. It's the discourse of Miriam. No Miriam, no water. We have to be able to appreciate it. And sometimes we don't even know why we're blessed. By the way, there's a Rashi over here that says that the end is that the Be'er of Miriam ended up in Tveria. We're living up near Tveria now, you know, we pass it every day. Some beach that's called Be'er Miriam. And if Miriam was the reason why Jews had war. Next, I'm going to go quickly and then we're going to go back over it all again. There's going to be one big question. And the whole purpose of this year is going to be to answer that one big question. They are now in the south. The south of the Sinai Desert. And immediately to the north of them, to the east, north, Edom, and Edom, Esav. Now, if they would be able to march through Edom, that would be a shortcut that would take these 3 million people that much closer to Eretz Yisrael. So the parsha says that Moshe sent messengers to the king of Edom, asking Edom, can we please go through your land? I'm reading, you're going to have this. Moshe sent messages to Edom, saying, Kol Omar Ochicha Yisrael, so says your brother Israel. You understand? After all these years, hurrah for brotherhood. So Moshe says, listen, so says your brother Israel. You know all the suffering that we went through. We went down to Egypt. We were in Egypt for many years. We suffered terribly. The Egyptians were bad to us. We cried out to God. He heard our voices. And he sent a messenger to take us out. And here we are. We finally made it out of Mitzrayim. And we are now by your border. Please let us go through your land. And we won't go through fields or vineyards. We're not going to drink your water. We'll go on the main highway straight through. The response is, Edom said to him, Lo Tavor, you will not pass through here. You understand? You're not going to step on my land. You're going to be trespassers, lest I go out against you with the sword. They made a second request. I always have a feeling the second time that they asked was a little, like a shikla bezoyin, a little shameful, sort of please, or pretty please, let us go through your land. And it says, Vayomer Elo, Bnei Yisrael, from the Silo Nala, we won't go on the main highway. We'll go off to the side, and if we drink anything, we'll pay. I imagine the only thing that they've changed now in their second request is that, first of all, we're not going to go through the main highways. We're not going to go through the main highways. And maybe you're concerned, we're going to make a monumental traffic jam, the kind that there wasn't since Adam and Eve until today. We won't go there. And if we do drink water, we're going to pay for it. They know. Just follow the money trail. If you're ready to pay, you can pay your way through anything. And they refuse, and they send their army out after them. Everything that happens in this sector, Klal Yisrael is going to learn a lesson for a lifetime. And that ultimately is going to be the purpose of this whole parsha. And it is a lot more. You know how I read this parsha? I read this parsha as the Jews saying, listen, We've been through a Holocaust. Do you know how we solved it? All we need is a little bit of sympathy, a little bit of understanding. We'll do our own thing, but please just help us out. Ease their mouth, a little bit of help. You know what they have to learn from this parsha? There's no one cares in the world. It doesn't make a difference to anybody. The only thing Edom is troubled by is that Mitzrayim never finished the job that they started. They should have thrown all of it into the Nile. Don't expect sympathy from the nations of the world. So you suffered in Mitzrayim. So you want to go because of your suffering in Egypt. You're going to throw seven nations out of Canaan. You're going to build your state of a Holocaust. We don't want to have any part of all this. I better make sure that I don't speak too much about each part of the different seven. The next is the death of Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take Aaron up to the top of the mountain, and there the torch is to be passed to Eliezer. Aaron HaKohen dies. Now when Aaron HaKohen dies, here you can understand already why God was upset with the Jewish people following the death of Miriam. Because it says, Vayishku Aaron Shloshim Yom Kol Beit Yisrael. The entire house of Israel cried for Aaron for 30 days. At the end of Torah, it's going to say that Israel mourned Moshe when he died. It doesn't say Kol Beit Yisrael. Only by Aaron it says the entire house of Israel, because Aaron was the great Oreb Shalom for Rodei Shalom. All right? Okay. So now, what you also have to throw into the hopper over here is that in this brief period of time, they've already suffered two great losses: mourning, bereavement, of the rush of a cruel reality coming from Edom. There's a hostile world out there. They haven't been in contact with any people since 39 years earlier, the sneak attack of Amalek. They have no foreign relations whatsoever. They didn't need an Aviv to leave them in because there were no foreign relations. There were no foreigners at all. This is the first time they are coming into contact. And what a contact this is. This is like a pail of cold water waking them up, thinking they might have thought that there's a compassionate world out there. There are human beings. There are nations. Oh no. First contact. And they've learned there's hostility out there. There's hatred out there. And it most probably will not change for all history. What happens immediately after the death of Aaron? It says the Kanani, king of Arad. And Rashi says it was Amalek. Amalek attacks again. Amalek senses the death of Aaron. The Anami covered the clouds of glory were because of Aaron. No Aaron, no clouds of glory. Israel is open to attack, and along he comes and he attacks. So they're learning now what loss really is, what bereavement is, how it profoundly affects the Jewish people. No water after the death of Miriam, no clouds of glory after the death of Aaron, the attack. But what a... And you know what happened in this battle? Vayish mimenu shevi. They took a captive. Rashi says, shifcharchas. They took one captive. One captive. This you have already. Here. Yeah, down here. You can read along with me over here. Below the
וישמע הכנעני מלך ערב יושב הנגב כיפור ישראל דרך הרטורים וילחם בישראל went war with Israel and took a captive from it. And Israel made a promise to God. In the county ten of Hamazebiyot, if you will give this people into my hands, I will consecrate their cities. You understand? There's one Jewish captive. And all of Israel stands up and says, I'll do anything. We have to get the captive back. One maidservant. And it says, Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael, God listened to the voice of Israel, and he gave the Kedani into their hands, and they destroyed their, and consecrated their cities, and they called the name of the place Charma. You're very intelligent people. I don't have to take you the next step further. All right?
But Thursday is people 3 years. But Thursday is 3 years.
Following that comes a very strange parasha. The people complain. Here we have it over there. Vayisu mehar ahar derech Yam Suf lizmova derech Zedom vatiktzar nefesh ha'om baderech vatiktzar nefesh ha'om baderech. They journeyed to the Mount Hor by way of the Sea of Reeds of Aralalita, and the spirit of the people grew short on the way. Vatiktzar nefesh ha'om baderech. The big Rashi over explains, tiktzar nefesh ha'om means like you reach a point of, you just can't take it anymore. You can't take it. The soul or the life source in people becomes short. The people are complaining. What had happened over there wasn't that struggle with Amalek. They had to retreat and withdraw 8 encampments back. In a sense, what they are now faced with at the end of 40 years is they're on their way backwards and not forwards. Here they thought they're already knocking on the gates of Eretz Yisrael. And it was a battle. They won the battle in the end, but they were pushed back a significant way in the desert, and they couldn't take it anymore. They couldn't take it. Tiktzar nefesh on Rashi says, when one's soul sort of becomes short, you can't take it. So it says, what happened over here? Vayadaber ha'om elikibu Moshe, the people spoke against God and Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no food and no water, and our soul is disgusted with the insubstantial food. There goes complaints. The complaints sound nearly, if not precisely, the complaints of 40 years ago. And what does God do over here? It says, by Shalach Hashem Ba'on, as Hanachoshim Asrafim, God sent the seer, fiery serpents against the people, and they bit the people. A large multitude of Israel died. Now, I just read the English translation, and I don't agree with the English translation. And we had a whole shiur dedicated to this one word, Vayishalach. Vayishalach. Some years ago, and I'll only briefly repeat what I said there. Vayishalach. What's the difference between Vayishlach and Vayishalach? These are two different words. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav Ochim. Yaakov sent messengers, or according to Rashi, angels, to his brother Esav. It doesn't say Vayishalach, it says Vayishlach. In this Sedra of ours over here, it says Vayishlach Moshe Malachim. Moshe sent messengers to the king of Edom. doesn't say Vayishalach Moshe Malachim. Later on, toward the end of the Sedra, Moshe is going to send spies. And do you know what it says? I'll give you just one guess. Vayishlach Moshe v'nageilat Yazer. Moshe sent to spy out Yazer. What's the difference between Vayishalach and Vayishlach? Yes?
We have the same thing
with Vayishalach Paro. Wait a minute. Good. Or what about the classic?
But in the Torah, there's no vowels.
There's no what?
There are no vowels on the Torah.
Thank God that there's a Masorah that has brought from Moshe up until this very day. We know every Nekuda in Torah. Without that, Torah would be completely impossible to understand. Here it is by Yishalach. We had a parashat Shlach. Well, what does Moses tell old Pharaoh? Shalach et ami v'yavduni. Shalach et ami. He does not say Shlach et ami. So what's the difference between the two? The significant difference between the two. Vayishlach always means when I send somebody. I send messengers, I send spies, I send people to visit, to do. Vayishalach means what? To let something go. To let something go. Do you think God told Paro, Shalach et ami, send my people out? What are you talking about? I mean him to send my people out. So what's a recommend in feast, you understand? All that I want of Paro is, stand back. Let my people go. Let my people go. King James Version. Correct translation. I'm afraid to say it. Art school, wrong translation. Shalach et ami, send my people out. Vayehi b'shalach paro adam, not when Paro sent the people out. He sent them out. He didn't send anybody out. He let them go. Do you know where it makes all the difference in the world to understand this parasha here? In this parasha, Jews are complaining. So Vayishalach, God sends the serpents. If it means God sends the serpents, it means God has sent out a message, serpents, please come and bite my people Israel. That's not what it means at all. You know what Vayishalach is? A lesson for the Jewish people. The desert is a place of snakes and serpents. You've been going through the desert for 40 years and not a single person was bitten. You know why nobody was bitten? Because I didn't let them. There's been a hashgacha practice on every Jew for 40 years in the desert. And you know what happened now? By Yishalach, God lets the serpents go do their thing. What's happening now? Jews being bitten and dying, that's the natural state of the desert. And if you translate this and God sent, it loses the whole meaning of the parasha. You know who does it well? Who really does it well? Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Turn over, second side. Second side of the first page. By Yisharach Hashem Ba'am. Shlach in the cow, shlach, this is the way I'm reading it, means to send, to put something in motion towards a goal. But shalach in piel predominantly has the meaning of letting something go, to leave it to its natural way, not to hold it back. Now you begin to understand back there, what did he... I don't remember what it said. Vayishalach et horev. when Noah lets the raven go, he's not sending the raven, letting him go. The dove, he's letting him go. He's not sending him any place.
I think I got it right.
Okay, wait, well, let's go further. And elsewhere, very free, here too. Not God sent serpents, but let them go. Did not keep them back. Hence, not nechashim srofim, but ha-nechashim ha-srofim. Those fiery serpents were here all the time. They've been here all the time. They had always been there in the wilderness, but hitherto they had been kept back by God's careful protecting power. Now God withdraws this restraining power, and the serpents of the wilderness follow their natural traits to which the people succumb. Thus, in Devarim, Moshe describes the wilderness through which they had wandered unscathed through God's miraculous protective power, as Amalekachab and Bidbar Hagadol Banara Nachash Saraf Yagrav Etzimaon. Unbelievable, the difference in how you translate a word. But all you have to know in order to translate, you have to know plain Hebrew grammar. And the translation, therefore, that I have over here is, in my humble opinion, wrong. Dead wrong. God sent the fiery serpents? No. He released the fiery serpents. You know what else I believe says the same thing? I found it. The Arachayim HaKodesh. The Arachayim HaKodesh brings a pasuk in Eov, where the friends of Eov are, you know, I don't wish on anybody friends like that. They tell Eov, in bonecha chatulo, if your sons have sinned before him, all his children die. In bonecha chatulo, if your sons sinned before him, vayishalchem biyad pishon. Vayishalchem biyad pishon. When your sons sinned against him, he delivered them into the hands of their own transgressions. By shouting, he let them go. Sin in and of itself has the power to destroy. He's saying the same thing as Rav Sanchin with Verlerch. He's saying the same thing as what Dikdok would say. So therefore, when we march on Solidarity Sunday on Fifth Avenue and we said, let my people go, we were right. And anybody who said, send my people out, was wrong. Wrong. Now we have to get this into the context. This is a terrible, jarring, tragic note for the people all in this period of time. Miriam dies, no water, the Canaanite attacks, takes a captive. By the way, the captive is returned. They get the captive back. Right, where are we on this list over here? Where are we up to? Yeah? Israel journeys. There are going to be all sorts of psukim. They're on the march. They're making up all that was lost. They're moving and moving ahead. And then there are the miracles of Aaron. They sing a number of songs at this feast, etc. They sing songs to the river Arnon. And here, I have to use the Rashi. Well, you know, take a little long. All right, take a look. After Rosh Hashanah for a verse on the other side, they sang to the Be'er, they sang about the river of Arnon, or the valley of Arnon. Nahal is a valley. It's also a river because very often rivers go, when there's water around this country, it goes through the riverbeds. Kishem, Rashi says, just as they tell of the miracles of Yamsuf, so there's a great deal to say about the miracles of the valley of Arnon. here also in the valley of Arnon, there were also great miracles that were done. What were the miracles that were done in the valley of Arnon? Now, here are things that God does for the Jewish people they don't even know. They don't even know. And God decides he has to let them know. For example, we just had the story of the serpents. They were unaware that for 40 years, not a serpent has struck. Why? Because God was watching over them and has made it clear to all the serpents, you don't touch any of my Jewish people. So here, the Valley of Arnon. So it says, the Eshet HaMacholim, the outpouring of the valleys, Targus of Shefach, the Aramaic translation of Shefach, outpouring, spilled is Eshet. The verse means the outpouring of the valleys. Shenishbach Shom Dam Amorayim, in that the blood of the Amorites was spilled there. I'll tell you what the story is. I mean, you know, at one point they had to travel between Moab and the Amori. There was a piece of land between Moab and the Amori, and Israel traveled through there. Now, it was a gorge, a canyon. You know, I mean, you know, we're the generation, I can tell you, that's where the Indians would usually wait for the white men, and the unsuspecting white men would start going further and further into the gorge, and then, of course, down will rain death and destruction upon them. And then, of course, you hear a bugle, and the Union Army is coming, you know. Klal Yisrael went through this gorge, and there were caves in the gorge. And you know who was hiding in there? The Amorim, the Amorites. They were waiting there in the caves in order mamash to rain down death and destruction upon the Jewish people going through that gorge. But it seems just as there were caves, the mountain on the other side had all sorts of protrusions. And before Jews come there, God brings the two mountains together and the protrusions go into the caves and crushes all of them. And they go through the valley. It was a pleasant walk through the valley. So the Rishon says, who's going to tell my children what I did for them? How are they going to know what I did for them? So he had the waters of the Arnon come through, and the waters took the bodies, the blood, and all the rest, and passed by before the camp. And as Rashi says, there were miracles there that were done that was as great, or maybe even more, than Kriyas Yam Suf. And somebody had to tell them about it. Here's another example. God is back there. He has a plan. He has a plan. Our problem is we don't know the plan. But we're wondering what he has in mind. What was it? Was it 2-3 months ago? I said over here in Shira, I'm sure God has some kind of plan. This is the last thing we would have thought of. We wouldn't have written this scenario. The scenario that I was thinking of really was 100 Israeli planes going there and blessed in Garan, the kingdom come. Can you hear the deliverance? No, kindle up, not yet. Let's hope that he will be taken care of another way. No. Chances are, he knows a little better how to run the world than we do. So here Rashi describes everything that happened, how they were destroyed, and then how they were shown, and the Rashi at the bottom, number 60, with that, Umishon ve'edah, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mimo diyam levodai ha'nisvalo. Who's going to tell my children about all the miracles that I did with them? As it brings, a very beautiful to tomorrow. If somebody gives a gift to a child, it's a mitzvah to let his mother know that you gave the child a gift. You have to let him know. Natata pat latinok, if you've given bread to a child, hodal imo, let his mother know. So over here, so the Gemara says sometimes, like if you gave him, some of the Israeli kids get this a piece of bread with chocolate spread. I never had, when I grew up in Williamsburg, never had chocolate spread. In LA, these kids, they grow big and tall on chocolate spread. And so the Gemara says that you should go ahead and put a little bit of what you put on the bread, put it on his forehead. Child is going to come home and say, "Hey, whoa, what's that? What's on your forehead?" Shall we say, "My Yaakov gave me a piece of bread with chocolate spread." That rhymes. Bread with chocolate spread. Right? Ah, now she knows. Now she knows. But Hashem says, "Somebody has to tell my people the miracle." The river Arnon came and provided the miracle. Let's go to the end of this list. All right, then of course comes the journey. Then comes the great confrontation with Sichon. Sichon, king of the Amorites, also asked, "Can we come through your land?" And Sichon says, "No." Very correctly. Over my dead body. They didn't know how correct it was going to be. All right? And then comes the great victory in Sichon. And there's a song that's sung because of that great victory. And here, neither Sichon nor the Jewish people had a clue what was really going on over there. There's a halacha that we are not permitted to attack Moab. We're not allowed to attack Moab. But God wanted to give part of Moab to the Jewish people. So you know what he did? He had Sichon conquer part of Moab. Ah, so when Jews are now going to come, they're going to take it from Sichon, and they're not going to take it from Moab. So there's this whole song about Cheshbon, the city of Sichon. Oh, I've given some great shiurim on... Some shiurim I gave on Sichon and Cheshbon. And there are songs about it. The end of the parasha is the Amori are north of Sichon. This is all the other side of the Jordan. The other side is also Eretz Yisrael. Stay kedosh by our day. There isn't a decent likudnik that said it in 40 years. There are two sides to the Jordan, and Sichon and Og. They were nearly the entire length of the east bank of the Jordan. That included Gilad. Not the Golan. The Golan was part of Eretz Yisrael proper. The Golan really is an extension. It's part of the Galil. It's below the... The Golan is not... the Syrian Heights, as some of our great people here think. It's a part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. All right. Okay. Victory of here. Now it's about time to tell you what the Bible is over here. You know what's happened over here? Packed in to these few months, no more than a few months, they have begun the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, but you know what's happened? All the emotions that you want. There's been mourning, bereavement, loss, fear of the Kanani, profound concern for a captive, victory, exhilaration, disappointment. We hoped that Edom would let us go through. There were complaints. There were the trials and tribulations of living without water, lack of protection, the serpents, murmurings, ugly confrontations with the world out there. It's all hostile. It's all unfriendly. This parsha has been a parsha. parsha of so many experiences. You know what I call this parsha? This parsha, Parshas Chukas, is the dress rehearsal for Jewish history. Everything that happens in this parsha is all the story of Jewish history. They're going through the exercise. Chevre, whatever happens to you in Chukas is going to happen to you throughout all of time. There's only one problem I have. You know what my problem is? It bothered me for years, but I never had an answer. Now I think I have an answer. There's one thing that just doesn't fit into this parsha. Of all the strange things, Paraduba. What in heaven's name is Paraduba doing here? The moment you finish, the parsha of Paraduba, the red heifer, somebody comes into contact with a dead body, has to go through a process of purification, mikveh, ashes, water. That's really part of the halachic portion of Torah. It's like it just doesn't fit. It always bothered me. It doesn't fit. The parsha should have begun with, and they arrived in Midbar such and such, and our Thomas shot Miriam, and Miriam died there. And then it begins from the month of Nisan through till it's most probably going to be till after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur of that year, but about 3-4 months. I think I know the answer. For the answer, we have to go last page. I'm going to take you back to Parashat B'Shalach. B'Shalach does not mean send when Paro sent out the people, when he let them go. All right. By the way, that distinction is very important, and you have to remember that distinction, because there are a lot of places where you're going to come across the word Shlach and Shalach, by Yishlach and by Yishalach. You always have to keep that in mind. Anyway, then, after Kriyas Yamsuf, one of the greatest manifestations of God's greatness in this world, the Red Sea. They've crossed the Red Sea. Vayasa Moshe Yisrael the Yamsuf. Moshe caused the Jewish people to journey from the Yamsuf. Vayetzel bin Barashur, and they went out to the desert of Shur. Vayelchu Shosha Stoma Bambibba Balalazamayim. And they went 3 days in the desert and they didn't find water. This is their first time in the desert, their first desert experience. No water. 3 million people, burning sun, baking them. They came to Morah, they were unable to drink water from Morah. King Morim came because they were bitter waters. Al came Korashma Morah, that's why the place was called Morah. Now, I have a feeling that all that this does is just causes them even greater pain. When you see the water and you think, this is it, finally our problem is resolved. This is so painful. And then you take the water, taste the water, you can't drink it. It's better not to have come to that kind of water altogether. And the people complained against Moshe, saying, what shall we drink? Incidentally, maybe this is not so incidentally, I failed to point out one thing to you. And I think I made a point of it on the first page, where it has the complaints that bring on the Nechashim Srafim, the serpents. I underline, Vayisu mehora har derech yamsus v'spov et eretz adom v'tikzor nefesh ha'am baderech. Vayidaber ha'am. The Am spoke against God and Moshe. Vayishalach Hashem, God sent ba'am against the people. Vayinashku and they bit at ha'am. Vayamat Amram Yisrael, Vayavo Ha'am. The Am came to Moshe. And Moshe prayed, Be'ad Ha'am. gave a shiur about this many years ago. There's a difference between Yisrael or B'nai Yisrael and Am. Am always represents sort of the lower levels of the people. B'nai Yisrael, the people who have purpose. All the problems in Parashas Chukas, all of them were the Am. Yisrael are the ones who journey. Who are the ones that make the vow, if you will give him into our hand, Vayidar Yisrael, Nedar Yisrael makes a land. I remembered that distinction over here, because what does it say? Who's complaining against Moshe here? Vayilon Lohan al Moshe, what will we drink? Vayitzakel Hashem, and God cried out, he cried out to God, and God showed him a piece of wood. Vayashlich alamayim, he threw it into the water. Vayimtiku alamayim, sham samlo chol umishbat v'sham nisal. There he made for him a statute or a decree and an ordinance, a chol and a mishbat v'sham nisal, and there. He tested it or no? I'll tell you. You know what's strange? You know what's strange over there? Columbus just crossed the Yam Suf. Peak experience in Jewish and world history. 3 days later, 3 million people are thirsty. Do you know what's happened to them? They've gone from the peak experience all the way down to the depths. What's going on over here? Eventually, you knew that you're taking them into the desert. You know they need water. What was your plan? What did you have in mind? You know what he had in mind? Shalom, he had in mind for them Chok and Mishpat, a decree, and justice. We know the difference between Chok and Mishpat in the realm of Halacha. Mishpat, Ela HaMishpat Masha Tosmu Zayn, Mishpat is the kind of law that an intelligent human being can understand. And many of the Mishpatim of Torah are readily understood by anybody who just wants to put his mind to it. The laws of how to relate to fellow men. There are so many halachas, thousands of halachas. And some mishpat. Then there are halachas in Torah. For example, the classic is Porat Duma. We don't comprehend. We don't understand. We don't get it. It's too difficult for us to understand. That's called a chok. Rav Soloveitchik once said, whatever is true in the realm of halacha is true in life itself. Just as there is mishpat in halacha, there is mishpat in life. Just as there is chok in halacha, there is chok in life. What's mishpat in life? A beautiful sunny day. A gorgeous flower. A baby smiling. That's mishpat. Health, wealth, there are all sorts of beautiful things in this world. We can understand them all. No difficulty whatsoever. Understanding the joy that a baby can bring to a whole family. Yeah, even money helps, you know. You don't have to be too rich, but you know. You have what you need. This is mishpat, we understand it. But is that all of life? There's illness, there's poverty, there's death. There's a lot of ugliness in this world. How many people on the face of this earth are living below the poverty line? Here they talk about below the poverty line. We're talking about below the nutrition line. How many millions or hundreds of millions of children in the world go to sleep hungry? How much illness is there in the world? It's unbelievable. There's a lot of tragedy in this world. You know what all that is? That's the Chok. A manifestation of Chok. We don't understand everything. We can understand the beautiful flower. We cannot understand cancer. That's the way it is. But the two of them make up life. Life is not going to be a bowl of mishpat. Life is going to be both chok and mishpat. And you know what you have to learn? Just like you have to learn to enjoy and appreciate the mishpat of life, you have to learn to cope with. You won't understand, but to cope with, to rise to the challenge of the unhappiness and the tragedy in life, the chok. You know what the Rebbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael? You want to survive throughout all of history? This is your first lesson. You've come from the peak experience of Kriyas Yam Suf. There will never be an experience like that again in history. And 3 days later, you're terrified because you're thirsty. Do you think life and Jewish history is going to be? You're going to Yam Suf your way throughout all of history? It's not going to be Yam Suf in your way. It's not going to be Mishpat. Kriyas Yam Suf, we all understand. That's Mishpat. 3 million people without water, that's a hope. That's tragedy. That's tragedy. Life is not all Mishpat. It's both Chok and Mishpat. Shom Somlov there, with that experience, that inexplicable experience, after the peak of Kriyas Yam Suf, 3 days later, terrible thirst, Shom Somlov Chok and Mishpat there he played, made for Klal Yisrael, the laws of Jewish history. The laws of Jewish history are going to be Chok and Mishpat. There will be Shoah, and there will be establishment of the state of Israel. One you can understand, one you simply can't understand. V'shom nisohu, I believe the word nisohu doesn't mean tested. V'shom nisohu, God raised the Jewish people. You know what he gave them? He gave them the quality of eternity. He gave them the frame of mind and the ability that they're going to make their way through history regardless of what happens. Rashi over here says, Shom Somlo, Choku Mishpat. There on that last page, number 5. Shom Somlo, Choku Mishpat. B'mora natan lehem mitzat parshiot shel Torah sheyitaskvem et mora, he gave them a few passages of Torah so that they should busy themselves with it. Shabbos upora aduma v'dinim. You know what he gives them at mora? Before Torah is given at Sinai. Tells them about Shabbos. That's nice. Shabbos is nice. That's Mishpat. Dinim, the relationship between man and fellow man. But you know what else he's teaching them at the Yam Suf? Paraduma. Not everything is going to be that easily understood throughout all of history. And if you want to survive through it, you're going to have to learn not how to deal with Mishpat alone. And you have to learn how to deal with Mishpat too. You have to learn how to count your blessings, how to appreciate, know what to do with your blessing. People can fritter it away and destroy it. Mishpat also is a great responsibility. But you know what? You have to learn how to cope with Chok. If you can cope with Chok and with Mishpat, you're going to do it. You know what I say? I say the most appropriate parsha of halacha to be taught in Parshat Chukah is, as at the beginning they received Parah Aduma, as Jewish history begins, you know what they taught? Parah Aduma, Chok. You're setting out now on a journey that's going to go into eternity, and you're going to have to survive it. And you know how you're going to have to survive it? You can have to know that there are things you can't grasp. But you know what you can do? You just keep going. And during the course of that period, that entire Jewish history, you're going to experience everything that they experience in Chukas. There's going to be joy, exhilaration, victory, mourning, bereavement, loss, fear, tragedy, all of these. Every one of the feelings, every one of the experiences of Parshas Chukas. And it's called Chukas not because of Paraduma, it's called Chukas because of Jewish history. That's the Chuk. Because God made Jewish history a Chuk in this world. Beginning of Hodu. Beginning of Hodu. Asher Karasos of Rome, Ushuoso, Yitzchak, Vayamidero, the Yaakov, the Chuk. The covenant that was made with Avraham, and then the oath that was said to Yitzchak by Yaakov, it's the third generation, the Jewish people become a chok. We are a law of nature. And in that chok of nature, we're going to have to learn to deal not only with victory, but with defeat. Not only with advancing, but retreating. Not only with joy, but also with bereavement. There couldn't have been a better time to begin this Seder. And I say now that I see the Seder, when it says at the beginning, Zos Chukas HaTorah, you know what the parish is saying? This is the law of Jewish history. You won't understand it, and you know what? The very survival of the Jewish people is the most mysterious chok of them all.
To react to a chok by saying I appreciate it.
All right.
Now,
it's going back. It's going back. Oh.
How do you say Nisahu means to raise them up when it's with a sama? That's a word?
No, they say it on Vayechavolaya, Velukim, Nisah, Abraham, Nisah from the word in Tanakh a number of times. The Harim Mace. The Mace is a day.
Raise up a day.
Raise
a banner.
Raise a banner. That's what they say by Velukim, Nisah, Abraham.
Okay, good.
Did you work out the
We're going to, I hope we can come if we can.
Oh, we'd love to have
you. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
the cult of the things you said, for example, today, the mishpat is a beautiful flower and they just smile. Okay? These are things that we can easily appreciate, we can appreciate.
Tragedies that occur.
Yeah. But for me, I see a cult of mishpat really.